Coming up, the New York football Giants bolstered their wide receiver room through a series of moves in free agency. How will it impact the roster heading into the upcoming season? What does it mean for safeguarding against injuries with Sterling Shepard and Wandale Robinson? And how will it impact Joe Shane's approach to the draft come next month? Break it all down next. Ah, yes, my friends, it is OGP, the One Giant Podcast, where I am your host, Adam Armbrecht, also covering the Brooklyn Nets on the Locked On Nets podcast, your New Jersey Devils on the Devils Puck Luck podcast as well. And of course, healthy, wealthy, and wise, but unavailable is one Andrew Mackowitz. We come in on a Thursday to break down what has been certainly a swarm of moves from the New York football Giants and Joe Shane, and specifically today, the wide receiver room and what they've accomplished over the start of this free agency ahead of next month's draft class. We were not surprised because Andy was someone who said bringing back Darius Slayton would be a smart move for the Giants. You take a look at his numbers and you can think about what he could do potentially as you bring in more talent. They added Paris Campbell, formerly of the Colts, coming off his first healthy season of his career, still just 25, going to be 26 years old. And then they go out and add another veteran, this time in Jamison Crowder, who was with the Bills last year, injured last year, but obviously gives you both some opportunities as a pure wide receiver weapon. And then also in the special teams group, Jeff Smith also brought in as well. He has special teams value too. So it was funny. Before the Jamison Crowder signing, I was starting to construct the way I was looking at this wide receiver room and where we should set expectations, which, by the way, includes the Darren Waller signing. And I should have said that inside of this, right? Just adding to the wide receiver, the pass-catching depth that this team has, trying to elevate that room. And I was starting to try to compartmentalize expectations around certain either individual players, but then player groups, players that have been injured, and how we could start to look at this team with the expectations that they'll still do something else here, potentially in the draft. But does this change the way we look at the hierarchy of needs coming into this season? I think most Giants fans would say no, that best player available could rule the day when it comes to pick number 25. And in doing so, if it's a Zay Flowers who's available at 25, you go and you take him because you know that he's going to be young and he's going to be a playmaker and it's not going to matter about his height and all the measurables because he's a guy that runs incredible routes. Okay, great. I've highlighted other guys when we talk about Jonathan Mingo, maybe being someone that you can't target at 100 because the Giants don't have that pick anymore, obviously sending it out in the Darren Waller trade. But he's a player that has height, has the measurables, and I think could be a real playmaker. And there's, by the way, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 wide receivers between Zay Flowers and Jonathan Mingo that the Giants could consider. But here's what I find fascinating about it. And what I find interesting, what I find smart about this approach. So let's back it up first to Paris Campbell, because that was the signing that came in a few days ago. And we try to, in the moment, at least I did, think about what does it mean? So here's a player that career, 32 games, came in the league in 2019, second round pick, but just 32 career games across what ends up being four total seasons. So not a great number from a health standpoint. 7 in his rookie year, 2 in his second season, just 6 in his third season, and then finally puts together a full year. Now you can look at the 63 catches and 623 yards and almost 10 yards per catch and say, what do we like about it? What concerns us about it? I think looking at the Colts and saying they were not the model of stability at the QB position, just from a talent level, what the state of it was, some injuries, some fluctuation, some head coaches being fired, bringing in some backups, and on down the road we went. You like the fact that this past season he put together over 69% catch percentage, and you like the fact that you can think about what his role can be, the versatility he brings if you put him into a system with Mike Kafka, with Brian Daboll, and then you give him a player like Daniel Jones, who we believe is ready to take that next step forward with more talent around him. So the risk-reward here is the injuries, right? As I said, first healthy season that he's put together. But if we think that he can be healthy, then I think you can look at those numbers and say, is this a guy that can catch over 60 balls for 700 plus yards? Yes, in fact, he is. And the thing that I like most about him is the versatility, right? You can line him up in different spots on the field. You can use him on sweeps. And that's something that we've heard Joe Shane, when we've gone inside the GM room and heard him discussing, going out in free agency, talking to players. It's about versatility. And then now listen, dependability. The injury piece is off to the side here when it comes to Paris Campbell, certainly. But the versatility really matters to what this team wants to do. 6'2", 208, so obviously not the biggest guy in the world, but he is a player that we go back to the scouting combine and back to the scouting profile on him when the Colts took him. Elite speed to stretch the field vertically, but also a dynamic offensive weapon who did damage on jet sweeps, comeback routes, and this is going back to his college days with the Buckeyes, found creative ways to get him the ball, a 4.31 in the 40. So the agility is fantastic. He's a dangerous guy on the go routes and has the athleticism to separate in any situation. Now that's going back 4 years and he's had the injuries. So you obviously have to think that that could be a concern. And when he came out of college at the time, it was more of a gadget play than a true wide receiver. And then of course, drop concerns coming out there as well. So what he ends up being, it's going to be dependent first and foremost to me on health. But he goes into this group, what I'm going to put him into the group as, with the second round pick for the New York Football Giants from this past draft, Wandale Robinson, a guy that you think you can use in a lot of different ways. It's going to be shifty in space. It certainly has the ability to run the sweeps that can, if he has the opportunity, get off the line and get off of jam coverage, be a vertical threat as well. But someone that you believe can be a dynamic playmaker with the ball in his hands. Okay, and now let's add in one more player. Recently signed Jamison Crowder, veteran wide receiver, who again was with the Bills this past year, only appeared in 4 games, 13 targets, 6 receptions. When I'm going back and thinking about him, though, I'm thinking back to the 3 previous seasons with the New York Jets, where at 26, 27, and 28 years old, he produced 78, 59, and 51 receptions, 122, 89, and 71 targets. So, you know, descending order there, but they're also moving in a different direction year over year when it comes to the New York Jets. What you like about it is on less volume, but a higher catch percentage, nearly 72% on his targets in that final season, 51 on 71, 447 yards. This is a player that's never had a 1,000-yard season, but has broken over 800 twice in his career, came very close in 2017 as well with Washington, and had a 700-yard season going back to 2020 with the New York Jets. Where is he? What's the state of his game from a pure wide receiver standpoint? We can talk about that. But we can also talk about the fact that he's going to be a player that you bring in and obviously gives you return game value as well. So just 5'9", 177 pounds. Put him right into that group, as I said, along with Paris Campbell and along with Wandale Robinson. So to briefly pause here, because what we're overall going to do is have the conversation on expectations for this wide receiver room. And the way that we're going to go about doing this is looking at Daniel Jones' stat line from this past season, the volume of passes, and where we reasonably think that we could start to consider yardage. Not touchdowns, we don't worry about that, but spreading the ball around, versatility, and kind of going outside receiver, inside receiver, what the level of versatility is on these guys and how they safeguard potentially against some of the concerns that you have around other players. By the way, I would probably put into this category too, Sterling Shepard, who's a versatile player, can line up a lot of different ways, but I stopped short of it mostly because I think that when we talk about a player like Sterling Shepard, we know that once upon a time, right, he's the most accomplished player statistically in this group that the Giants now currently have. And fully healthy, it means one thing, right? Some diminished version of him, it means another thing. We even saw it this past season before he went down. Like, there was still something there. There was still an elite-level player. But I think, with still time to make other moves and with the draft to come, what Joe Shane has gone out and done, and I'm putting those three players, Crowder, Wandale Robinson, and Paris Campbell, and to different levels, right? Wandale Robinson's the number one. You want him to be healthy out of this group, I'm saying. You want him to be healthy. You want him to be productive. You want him to be dynamic. He's the youngest. He's the guy that you brought in. Then you go to Paris Campbell, still plenty of tread on the tires. If he can stay healthy, there's real opportunities to utilize him. And then I think a guy like Jamison Crowder is your safeguard to make sure that you get something out of that position. Maybe you're worried about all three of these guys and some injury concerns across the board. But if we think about the fact that Daniel Jones threw 472 passes last season for 3,200 yards. First, let's raise the bar on what our expectations are for Daniel Jones as a quarterback as you add in more weapons. And we know that Darren Waller is part of this group too, and we're going to talk about the tight end room. But out of these three players, the guys that we consider to be the versatile ones, the ones that could line up in a lot of different spots, if I'm going to earmark expectations, I'm going to say that maybe Crowder just ends up being your safety valve. Maybe you bring him in like you brought in Richie James, and then all of a sudden he gets elevated into a bigger role this past season. You have a veteran experience in the return game, and you feel confident in what he could contribute inside of your offensive system. Between those three players, I want to get probably something like, let's say, 1,000 to maybe 1,200 yards. And what do I mean by that? I don't mean that everybody's going to get 500 to 600 yards apiece and these guys are going to be 1,800 yards collectively, but someone's going to rise to the top. And ideally, it's Wandale Robinson. But in the world where you have your concerns about Wandale and his health, and a guy like Paris Campbell, who you also have concerns with, what percentage of reps will each one of those two wide receivers see inside of the Kafka system? And how much of this could we anticipate saying, what we want is a volume of players that have talent and ability that we can mix and match week in, week out, game to game, situational football, and say, hey, we're creating plus matchups against defenses at the second, third, fourth cornerback matchup, into the secondary with the safeties, at the linebacker positions, right? We want to stretch things thin and open up opportunities. So for me, the dream scenario is if we think about a guy like Wandale Robinson and saying, what do you want him to be coming out of his second season? I'd love to see first and foremost him be healthy. And then if he checks that box, tell me that you can be 600 plus yard receiver for the Giants, right? Because what did he do this past year? In just six games, three started, 31 targets, 23 receptions, 227 yards. I mean, I'm not just extrapolating it out, right? Six games, okay, times it by three, that's 750 yards, you know, in that kind of range. We have to account for the fact that he may have injuries, right? That maybe he's only going to see 12 games this year. Do I think that it's possible that he could be a 750 plus yard receiver? 100%. But what I want to see is two of these guys combine to get me towards 1,000 plus yards. So 1,200 being the benchmark. I can have Robinson go for 800, and then I can have Paris Campbell kick in 400 yards, and Jamison Crowder's just your receiver that's using on special teams and has the occasional reception. I can also see it balancing out a little bit more. Will Wandale Robinson's injuries end up then creating a little bit of a Paris Campbell first with a little more of Jamison Crowder sprinkled in there just for good measure? But I think it's entirely realistic and feasible to say this slot and versatile weapon position that the Giants want to have in their wide receiving core has got to clear 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 yards. But 1,000 to 1,200, let's just put it in that range. And the perfect scenario is it's Wandale Robinson for 800 plus, and we plow forward because he's healthy, he's dynamic, and you could see how dangerous he can be with that ball in his hands and the small sample size we got from him last year. 23 catches on 31 targets over six games. I mean, just from a volume standpoint, right? Is he going to see 90 plus targets over the course of a year? Maybe. But there's a lot more mouths to feed now, right? Darren Waller, we'll talk about in a minute. What happens with Hodgins? We'll talk about him coming up. Where is Darius Slayton fit back into this now, still in the fold here with the Giants? But that's what I want to see from this group. And I think that's what Joe Shane has put a collection here for, right? Our high second round pick, we want him in there healthy, ready to go. But I've safeguarded against his injury with a guy in Paris Campbell who's on a prove it deal. And then I have a veteran experienced player that we can use in different ways. Okay. Now let's take a look at the Darius Slayton, Isaiah Hodgins group of it all and think about what that means potentially for the Giants. Because the way I look at this is these two players, and then I'm going to add in Sterling Shepard, and I know it's a bit of a mismatch here just in terms of what we're really talking about, measurable skill set, etc. But again, we're safeguarding around injury concerns. And the fun thing here when it comes to these players is that you haven't had those injury concerns when it comes to an Isaiah Hodgins, when it comes to a Darius Slayton. So for whatever you think Darius Slayton isn't and what you don't want to put the responsibility on him for, he's still a guy that gave you 724 yards this past year, 46 catches on 71 targets. And inside of his career, we know that he's been a guy that over four seasons has, by the way, saw an uptick this past year for the first time. It was going 84, 96, 58, 71. The targets have been up and down. But if you look at the yardage standpoint, you have to love three out of four seasons. Take 2021 out of the mix, and this is a guy that averaged 15-plus yards per reception three out of his four seasons, over 700 yards three out of the four seasons, and can give you touchdowns. Has the production from his rookie campaign been there the same way? No. Can it be right back there now that we add in a Darren Waller and some other weapons and someone in the draft? Of course it can. But him combined with Isaiah Hodgins, who becomes interesting, because I think the volume we're talking about with Darius Slayton, 71 targets, it's going to still live in that range probably. I want to see him be more productive on less overall, right? But the sweet spot for him is that 45 yards. Do I think that Darius Slayton is capable of having one catch for 40 yards a game or two or three catches for 45 yards a game over the life of a season again this upcoming year? 100%. I hope that he gets to be a little bit more of a home run hitter and that some more easier opportunities are opened up for him. But I know what he's capable of with consistency and durability and reliability has been there. Then we think about, for me anyway, we think about a guy like Isaiah Hodgins who shows up here. Eight games, 33 catches on 42 targets, 351 yards, four touchdowns. Now, can we double that and give him 80 targets in the year and see him be a 65 reception a year guy? Potentially, right? I think there's going to be some dose of reality when it comes to him. And it's not even about how productive he could be necessarily, but maybe just about the volume that we're dealing with. In an ideal world, I want Isaiah Hodgins, who's 24 years old and 6'3". He takes over for what Kenny Golladay never was, right? So in theory, I like having Kenny Golladay. Don't worry, we're okay. I like having Isaiah Hodgins on one side. I like having Darius Slayton on the other. And then I like having this just cacophony of possibilities in these other spots, whether it's, you know, running a three wide receiver set, spreading it out wide with four or even five wide receivers, which there are going to be times when that's going to be very feasible and realistic. So what are my expectations for these two particular players? Between the two of them, and if I want to throw in Sterling Shepard again, because I want to just include him in this conversation and give him some level of expectation, let's say we throw in the Sterling Shepard, who was only able to play in three games this past year. And when you look at his stats, we understand, right? He's played in, going all the way back to his rookie year in 2016, 16, 11, 16, 10, 12, 7, 3. And we know that he's not young anymore, right? 30 years old, going to be 31, but with injuries. And we don't even know the state of his game. So when I include him in this particular collection here, it's more just saying, like, I don't even know if he's going to be available. We don't even know if he'll be on this roster. And a lot of these moves from Joe Shane can be considering that type of possibility. Where's Robinson going to be? Where's Shepard going to be? Is Paris Campbell going to have injuries? Could Crowder see setbacks, right? All of those things. But you've elevated the talent pool. We didn't have anybody on the roster last year after long forgotten stat lines from Kenny Golladay and Darius Slayton to say, hey, we can lean on these guys. Look what they've done in the past. We didn't have that type of opportunity. Paris Campbell showed it this past year. Crowder has shown in his career. Now we think we have something in Hodgins as well. These two players, tell me that there's 1,200 to 1,400 yards potentially between them, right? Because I already know. In all different iterations of the Giants and different players at number one and number two wide receivers, guys in and out of the lineup, that Darius Slayton can be productive. He can be a productive player. Will Isaiah Hodgins see the level of consistency and opportunities and show the consistency? I think so. Do I think it's actually more likely that Hodgins continues at just 24 years old to grow in his game? 100%. Is there a world where that, you go back to his stat lines, right? Eight games, 350. Can he be a 700 to 800-yard receiver this upcoming season? Without a doubt. Am I going to put that both of them are combining for 1,600? No. But if you mix in a little bit of Sterling Shepard and you want to say 1,300 yards between these three guys if they're all together, 1,200, 1,100 if just the two of them, and again, same scenario as that other group, who rises to the top here in this opportunity? And remember, We mentioned Daniel Jones and his stat lines here. So let's be clear. He threw the ball 472 times this past season. So if we operate on what the volume was, right? How many targets is Wandale Robinson going to get? We want to give him, let's just say 60, right? Let's give 60 to every guy that we talk about here today. 60 for him, 60 targets for Slayton. Now we're up to 120, 60 for Hodgins. We're at 180. And then even if you say that Paris Campbell gets 60 targets, we're at 240. That's nothing. We're not even halfway through. We're about halfway right there, right? Right on the nose. We're halfway through it. And it doesn't even take into account what could happen with a Jameson Crowder. It doesn't take into account, we haven't talked about yet, which is Darren Waller, Daniel Bellinger. And it doesn't even talk about the other great weapon, the best weapon, and that's Saquon Barkley, right? So now all of a sudden, though, when we think about Daniel Jones and 3,200 passing yards, and we know the other missing piece is continuing to improve the offensive line. But when we think about that, I've got two groups, two skill sets inside of this team that I believe are capable of providing 1,000-plus yards collectively. And again, I want one clear guy to come to the top of all of these. In the instance of Hodgins and Slayton, we're talking about guys that could line up on the opposite sides of one another. But in that other group, it really is maybe the collective sum of the parts if Wandale Robinson isn't going to be the clear cut. But I think you have a lot of dynamic opportunities within that group. I'm talking about having 2,400 yards on the table between these five wide receivers in some form or fashion. Maybe more. Should be more, right? I don't know the ceiling on Isaiah Hodgins right now. Maybe he explodes. It's hard to set a bar too high for Paris Campbell because he has 1 year where he's shown it, but is this going to be his best opportunity now healthy with Daniel Jones to have a quarterback that's clearly on the uptick relative to a Matt Ryan from last year with the Colts, 100%. So now we're 2,500 yards into it, and then we get into the Darren Waller of it all and Daniel Bellinger, by the way. So Daniel Bellinger, let's keep that tally going. 240 targets thrown right now by Daniel Jones in the upcoming season. Across 12 games with the injury mixed in, 30 receptions on just 35 targets, absolutely elite in terms of receiving percentage, 268 yards. Where does he land? The Giants also signed a veteran tight end here to help solidify some of the blocking. They've reconstructed this tight end room around Daniel Bellinger with an elite wide receiver talent and a veteran blocking talent as well. If you tell me that he's going to be healthy all year because that was a freak injury that he suffered from, I can tell you that. I mean, listen, let's just be relative about it and put him at 55, 60 targets again for him. I don't know. How much in the shuffle does he get lost? He may have to actually do more with less, which I think he's very capable of because of all the other opportunities that are going to be there. And maybe it's actually worth it at the end of this, putting together a hierarchy of where we think the mouths to feed line up inside of this current iteration of the wide receiving core. But if Bellinger gets 50 targets this upcoming year and he's a 400 to 500 yard guy, and I don't want to sell him short. We love him on the podcast. We love what he's going to be. But we understand, right? You've brought in Darren Waller. You've brought in this other new weapon. Darren Waller capable of being a 1,000-yard receiver again this year. But let's not go insane. Let's assume that maybe he does need to miss a couple of games and that there are a lot of other options here. Again, and this feels almost generic with the way that I'm parsing this out. Tight end room, 1,200 yards collectively. That's 750 for Waller and 400. For Daniel Bellinger, right? And all of a sudden, now you're thinking about specifically, and if I want to reduce it down to be somewhat finite in expectations, Darius Slayton, let's just say he bats his average, 700 yards. Isaiah Hodgins, let's say he comes close to getting where the numbers would tell you. Let's just say 600. Because we don't know what the volume is going to be. And there's going to be another wide receiver come in here, we think, in the draft. But right now in this moment, that's 1,300 yards. Now you tell me that Wandale Robinson gives me 600 yards. So we're right there on the edge of 2,000. Paris Campbell, he gives me 500 yards. Some injuries, he's in and out of the lineup, right? And don't even worry about Jameson Crowder. That's it. We cap it off right there. Those four guys. So now you're at 2,300 yards. And I'm telling you, that Darren Waller and Daniel Bellinger are going to get you to close to 3,500 yards, right? Maybe a little under, but 3,300 yards passing for Daniel Jones just on what are we consider to be the guys that are currently plugged in to have real roles with this team in the upcoming season. Injuries aside, leave the mystery of Sterling Shepard off the table right now. Leave Jamison Crowder as your return specialist and veteran just in case backup for a lot of these positions. And maybe I'm doing him a disservice, by the way, because he has a better track record than Paris Campbell does, but you're taking a flyer on a guy that's still young. So either or, Jamison Crowder or Paris Campbell. Now we talk about the backfield and we talk about what we have expectations for, not just Saquon Barkley, but also, yes, one Mr. Matt Breida, because he's still here, because he was brought back. And if we take a look at what Saquon Barkley's numbers were, first and foremost, and remember that we were at 240 coming into it, and then we moved the needle up to 300 with Daniel Bellinger, and we collectively, let's move it up to almost 360, 370 with Darren Waller. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of it, right? How many times will we be throwing the ball this year? Well, let's just remember that even in this past season, where there were games when it was, listen, it's feast or famine, it's going to be Saquon Barkley for big chunk yardage when it comes to the running game. He saw 76 targets this past season and had 57 catches for only 338 yards. I want those to be more explosive plays, but again, let's be conservative and say that he takes 50 receptions this upcoming season for 400 yards. Let's just put it there, right? Little more production, little bit back closer to those first two seasons, 7.9, 8.4, a little bit less like the past 2 years, 6.4 and 5.9. All of this is to say, throw in Matt Breida and what I think he'll be capable of doing, and I think that you'll see not necessarily a massive jump. We know the big stats at the end of the season in the game against the Eagles that kind of inflated his season numbers. But I still think he is the safety valve, and you'll probably see a similar level of production that'll just be spread across a full season of games. That's 4,000-plus yards for Daniel Jones that are very obtainable. And that's saying, like, if you had just done the exact same thing this past season with that group of players, a new system and a lot of variables and some injuries are going to happen. Is it hard for me to squint and say that Daniel Jones could have taken that thing from 3,200 to 42? No, not by a long shot, because whatever you thought this team was last year in the wide receivers and whatever you think about these guys with their injury concerns, certainly, this is a vastly, vastly improved wide receiver room, including the tight end group, for Daniel Jones this year. And that's without doing anything in the upcoming draft. And at which point, if the Giants add a wide receiver at 25 or at 57 or even at 89, all of this hierarchy is going to shuffle. And all of a sudden, a guy maybe like Darius Slayton is becoming your fourth or fifth best option that you're hoping can be productive on a greatly reduced volume. So he won't get the 750 just because he's not going to see as many targets. Paris Campbell is a guy you took a flyer on that ends up buried on the depth chart. Who knows? It's a one-year prove-it deal. I think that the versatility that he offers could be utilized, but maybe Zay Flowers gets brought in and just like that, we got to shuffle the deck here and the hierarchy looks a little bit different. But we'll close out on the idea of what this hierarchy could or should look like. And that's because we know. So right now, and I just said 76 targets there for Saquon Barkley this past season. He's going to be a volume shooter, right? Now, guys missed some games here, etc. Remember, Richie James had 70 targets this last year. You can earmark. I said everybody had 60. But what I want to see is Saquon Barkley, let's make the number 70, right? I want Darren Waller to get 70 targets. I want Saquon Barkley to get 70 targets. And in a healthy world, I want Wandale Robinson to get 70 targets as their baseline. And that gets you to 200-plus targets right there alone. Then, between an Isaiah Hodgins and a Daniel Bellinger, I want to see 100 targets. You tell me which way it gets sliced, right? Now we're up over 300, and we haven't even talked about Darius Slayton, and we haven't talked about a Paris Campbell, and we haven't talked about this other guy that I think is coming in the draft. It's just a matter of when. The way in which that this offense can be constructed so that on down and distance, they're going to have the opportunity to give you size and speed, in a Hodgins, Waller, Darius Slayton centric look. They're going to be able to give you the blend, which, by the way, there's other guys that have speed. I'm not pigeonholing any one guy. They're going to, and then over the middle as well with Daniel Bellinger, let's say in that group, a lot of size, a lot of chain movers potentially, and some burners. They can also go ahead and spread you out and give you looks that include Wandale Robinson and Saquon Barkley flexing out of the backfield and a Paris Campbell or a Jamison Crowder, veteran, 8 years with experience, very productive, man. I have the Jets images in my mind of how good he looked for those couple of seasons there. Now, all of a sudden, you are spreading out a defense that is predicated on bigger cornerbacks, guys that are going to jam dudes at the line of scrimmage, right? Prevent them from getting off and getting those deep bursts. Fine, we'll eat you up underneath. And then every iteration of those combinations, you know, that you can go to there. I just, listen, the world where we want the number one wide receiver, I get it. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But Joe Shane clearly looked at the landscape of where the wide receiver market was, not a clear number one that you want to go after, not willing to go trade big draft capital for DeAndre Hopkins. So the next best thing, we're going to convert some Kadarius Toney capital into Darren Waller. And if you think he's going to be healthy, boom. One of the most productive guys you have in your core in his track record right now. You bring back a guy that Daniel Jones has familiarity with in Darius Slayton. You add guys that have versatility within your scheme in Crowder and Campbell. And then you look and you hope that Wandale is healthy, that Bellinger takes the next step forward, that Saquon Barkley keeps being Saquon Barkley, and that Isaiah Hodgins, again, can maybe take that next step in his process as well. Tip of the cap, before we get out the door, to Colin Johnson, who somebody mentioned, and I don't know how that's going to pan itself out here now because you added in a lot of bodies, but it is worth remembering that Colin Johnson, who got hurt and wasn't able necessarily to show what he could have been capable of, but we know what he flashed. I think he still has at least some world to be around this roster, practice squad or otherwise. Because the one thing we have here right now is what happens with Sterling Shepard may not even be, who knows, may not be a part of this team as much as I want him to be a part of this team. Jamison Crowder, you love it. It's a good flyer, but can he get burnt out of the roster if someone else comes in is more productive as a return man? Certainly. But at least right now on paper, you've elevated the room. You now have, and if you want to put Paris Campbell with his one 600 plus yard season, him and Crowder and Slayton and Hodgins on projection and Waller and Bellinger on projection and Saquon Barkley. You have seven guys, and even just five, let's say, take away the guys on projection. Five guys that have had over 600-yard receiving seasons in their career, and some have done far better than that. And then you add in the Wandale Robinson, the Daniel Bellinger, the Isaiah Hodgins of it. Now, that's three guys that have untapped ceilings and untapped potential that you think they can grow on. Whatever the hierarchy is going to shake itself out, the Giants did not have that last year. Even in the shell of Kenny Golladay, there was no world where you thought maybe he could. No, he wasn't going to. Sterling Shepard, he has it with the health, right? So I just think they've done a really fantastic job of saying we've brought in a collection of players that can be productive. The hope is that the cream rises to the top. But if you have to mix and match week in, week out, I love it. I love what they've done here for Daniel Jones. I think that they've given them weapons that in another year of the Kafka system for Jones specifically, and then bring in veteran guys who you think can fit the mold. It makes you feel like there's a sigh of relief around entering the season saying, we've got options here. We have opportunities here. In an ideal world, it gets clean cut, right? It's Waller. It's Wandale. It's Hodgins. Is it Slayton? You guys can debate that amongst yourselves. But it's Barkley, and then it's a little bit of Bellinger sprinkled in, and then, you know, whether it's a Campbell, et cetera, but set that hierarchy. I mean, that's what we want every single week. Consistent. The depth chart looks consistent. No need for Richie James to get 70 targets in a season. No need for a Marcus Johnson to have what? 14 games played. For the New York Football Giants. It's not a knock on them. David Sills to have to come up and play in games well before he's seasoned and really ready to go. All these things matter, man. And I'm excited for it. I really like it. I'll refine these numbers down a little bit. I'm sure you, and get in the conversation. I'm sure people are going to say Paris Campbell can or cannot be X. You know, Jamison Crowder will or can no longer be Y for this team, right? Maybe Hodgins. Do you feel like I'm overselling him or underselling him? Because he's still young and maybe he can be far more productive, right? Maybe there's a 1,000-yard receiver just sitting there and waiting in this upcoming season to break out. I'm excited for it. Now the question becomes, how did it impact the Giants draft board? And will they still take a Zay Flowers if he's there at 25? I don't think any of these moves have prevented you from doing that. You didn't go out and get an elite number one dude outside of, say, Waller if he's healthy. But the wide receiver room still needs a body. But your needs board has shifted, right? Wide receiver is still a need. Number one wide receiver is still a need. But is it more of a need than interior offensive lineman? Than getting that secured center to pair with Daniel Jones that'll afford him to be that much more productive with the collection of weapons you have? And how deep is the wide receiver class? How good do you feel at 57 or 89 going after a player that can add to this group and that can develop with this group and then overtake some of these other guys, right, at any point along the way? I love it, man. I'm excited about it. And I know if you're someone who follow the show and you say that I at times can be the pessimist around what potentially could be for the Giants and for Daniel Jones and for the offense, I'm on board with this one. Like, I think that they've checked a lot of really nice boxes. Not all of them are guarantee check marks, but I think that they've done things here collectively that get you excited about how this team can be productive, about how they can be a consistent offensive threat. And yes, go add another guy in the draft, right? Go add that young talent that you develop and say 2 years from now, when Darius Slayton is maybe gone, 2-year deal for him, well, maybe Isaiah Hodgins doesn't pan out. Maybe he does. But look back and say, Daniel Bellinger is now your number one tight end wholeheartedly at 4 years of Waller on the books. But now it's Daniel Bellinger and it's Wandell Robinson and it's the other guy, other wide receiver you bring in through the draft, right? The young core that grows and develops with Daniel Jones. That's been the goal. You couldn't do it all last year. You're going to continue to do it this year. And I'm excited by it. So you got me. I'm bought in on what I think this is trending in the direction of, assuming they add one more key piece and we continue to see how these things flesh out. You still have to bargain hunt. You still have to make smart decisions. And I think that Joe Shane and the Giants did a lot of that. We'll talk about the other moves the Giants made, obviously. We'll break those down, the impact that they have. We'll talk about the tight end room. Lawrence Cager, who, you know, showed some flashes. Can he still be a part of this roster? Who's going to fall by the wayside here? We'll get into all of those things as we move through the rest of this offseason. Then coming up starting in April, I made this decision to try every day in the month of April, another prospect for the Giants in the draft leading up to draft day. So at the end of it, you'll have 20 plus names to discuss where I think the hierarchy of the board has moved a little bit and how the Giants can continue to check as many boxes as possible. Get us on YouTube, get us on the podcast feed at One Giant Podcast on social, at Adam Armbrecht on Twitter as well. This was a ramble and a rant about what I think this team is capable of and what this wide receiver core is capable of in this moment, knowing that I want to see it refine, I want to see it improve, and I want to see this team feel like walking into week number one in the upcoming season, they have a defined and dangerous collection of weapons for Daniel Jones. Thank you so much for joining us as always, and if Andrew Mackowitz was here, he would want, need, and nay, demand that people know, as always, let's go Big Blue.